Welcome to a special prospect interview here on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel and podcast feed. I am Maxwell Baumbach, and today I have the pleasure of being joined by Texas's Arthur Kaluma as he prepares for the 2025 NBA draft. Arthur, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. Can't complain.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to have you on board. So around this time of the year, our listenership and viewership really skyrockets. We had a lot of people that don't watch college basketball that are predominantly NBA fans who are just starting to tune in, finding out who these rookies are going to be that are coming into the league. For someone who's never seen you play before, how would you describe your game?
Man, I'm more of a Swiss Army knife, man. Like, I do everything on the court. I could switch 1 through 5. I could play multiple positions on offense, whether you need me to run the 3, whether you need me to run the 4, or I could be a mismatch problem at the small ball 5. Like, I'm everything that you might need, you know, utility.
It's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I, at this time of year, during the year, you know, I'm scouting and whatever, and I do a lot of film work. And then after the season, I do a lot of data work. And I thought something that was really interesting was on just like your analytics profile, you didn't have a single like analytical red flag compared to guys that have stuck around the NBA long term. You do everything at a really competent level. So that really kind of bodes itself out, you know, in your description of the game, but also what the numbers say too. So really cool stuff. How did you kind of get into basketball growing up? Because we talked to so many different players who have so many different, you know, backgrounds or things that interested in them in the game. What was it that sort of hooked you and got you playing the sport?
Yeah, no, I mean, just growing up, watching my older brother play. My older brother played at San Diego State for, what, 5-6 years? Mm-hmm. And before that, man, just watching him play AAU basketball with our local AAU team in Santa Clarita, it was just like, man, that's something I really want to do. Like, seeing how he approached the game, see everything that he, you know, accomplished in the game, playing at Sierra Canyon, going to San Diego State, and being, mm-hmm. the most winningest player over there.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff that inspires me. And, you know, we're the first generation of basketball players in our family. So I got all the height. Unfortunately, he stopped at like 6'3", 6'4". But, mm-hmm. yeah, basketball has always been a part of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really cool kind of learning from your brother, Adam Psycho, who, as you mentioned, was a really good player at San Diego State. What were you feel? Did you feel like were the benefits and challenges of sort of growing up with an older brother who's already sort of like laying the groundwork? Like, do you feel like that helped you in other areas? Were there other areas where like maybe you had a chip on your shoulder because it's like, well, I got to live up to what he's doing? Like, how did that kind of affect your mentality?
Man, I'm not gonna lie to you. It was tough sometimes because, you know, me and him would play 1-on-1 all the time, and he'd just cook me, bro. He was older, he was stronger, but I feel like it lit a fire more than anything, man. Like, I wanted to catch up to him so bad. And so that chase, you know, mm-hmm. it was like, it wasn't as much ironing sharpened iron when we played 1-on-1s earlier on. But as time, you know, and I developed as a basketball player, I feel like we helped each other get better in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm. So during your high school career, you kind of moved around a lot when you were younger. And you end up in, I believe it was Glendale, Arizona, right? Was that where you played high school ball? Because you were at Dream City, right?
For your last year? I was at Dream City. I was at Dream City for my last 2 years of high
last
school.
Last two, perfect. Yeah. So what was that experience like, having to sort of readjust, being in a new place, and then playing in a high school where there's always sort of a high level of competition, both internally with on your own team, there's a lot of talent there, and then you're also playing, you know, a tougher schedule than your average high schooler. What was that experience like for you?
Man, I'm not going to lie to you. When I first moved to Arizona, you know, they had a team house. I was just so excited to get out the house, man. I was just ready to go. But it was a fun experience. I made lifelong friendships with people, high-level players, Marjon Beauchamp, mm-hmm. you know, Shaedon Sharpe. Like, being around those players and seeing how they operate every day definitely pushes you to a different level. And I feel like that was a very big step in my high school career and my growth as a person.
For sure. And you had a lot of buzz around the time that you were finishing up high school. You also got to have some national team experience. So let's kind of talk about that now. Mm-hmm. Especially for the Uganda national team. What was that like?
Bro, it was a blessing. Like, it's hard to describe the feeling I had playing for my national team, because like, you grow up and, you know, basketball is just a game that you play, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a game at the end of the day. But when you go and play for your national team, like, there's some weight behind it. Like, you got your country on your back. And just that experience in itself getting to go out the country. Like, this is stuff that I had never experienced before. So the opportunity was amazing, and the life lessons that I pulled from it were, they're always going to stick with me.
Yeah, that's really cool. I always admire guys that get that opportunity and take it, because I think sometimes players can leave that sort of thing on the table because they're like, "Oh, I got to get ready for my college season or whatever." It's like I would jump on that if you get the chance.
Definitely should. Definitely should.
For sure. So you started off your college career at Creighton. What was there anything in particular that sort of led you there? Because I mean, you had a good amount of interest as a recruit. Was there anything specifically that drew you there?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go somewhere where I could play right away. And Creighton had just lost their whole starting five. And I was like, man, I feel like I could carve out a role there. I mean, Coach Mack is an amazing coach, great offensive mindset. And it's like, it's going to help me prepare for the level that I want to be at. And man, I'm not going to lie to you, when they had us on the Zoom call, because it was COVID time, when they showed me the two private jets they had, it was almost a sealed deal after that. I was like, man, I'm going on a PJ to the games, like, and bro, Creighton was just an experience. It was fun.
So I wanted to ask you about the end of your freshman season in particular, because it seemed like that was when you first really landed on NBA radars. Was you guys had some injuries, like everything was kind of like up and down all over the place. Thing was Ryan Nemhart that got hurt. Was he the one that got injured? And then like it was like all the freshmen, like younger guys kind of stepping up. It was like a really like kind of like rocky season where you guys were like really competitive, but it's like, man, this team is young and super talented. And you had a really strong stretch to close the year. We're averaging like 15, 16 a game. Did you anticipate that level of focus, and then in the aftermath, the scrutiny that comes with being a player that sort of pops off their freshman season?
I mean, I always felt like the level I was playing at the end of that year was like, that should be my baseline. Like, I felt like I hadn't even shown everything I really had. And you know, it's different. College basketball is a lot different coming from high school basketball. Like, the spacing is different, and then the schemes and the offense that you have to understand and read, it's a lot different. But that adjustment that I made towards the end of the year, it kind of like slowed down for me. Now I started scoring more, and I felt like overall I became a more confident and better basketball player from that experience. As far as the scrutiny, man, I can't pay too much attention to it, you know? Like, staying away from Twitter, all types of social media is like, even after a good game, good or bad game, like, yo, stay away from it, bro. Like,
It's a good mindset to have.
those people are going to talk regardless.
Do you feel like that got better or worse as you got through college? Because I feel like now with like NIL, like I feel like a lot of like fans feel some type of way. Like, well, now they're making money, so it's okay for me to like send a death threat to a 21-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people are like nuts now. Like, they're kind of emboldened between NIL and the gambling. Like, did you notice a shift in that at all? Or was it just like, hey, I've always got people chirping at me and I just tune it out?
I mean, even before NIL, like, if you mess up some parlay, like, you're going to hear about it at some point. But, like, NIL definitely did, you know, it boosted it a little more. Because, like, yeah, like you said, like, we're getting paid now. Like, okay, I could talk however I want to talk to them. But at the end of the day, like, yo, we're just kids playing the game that we loved, you know what I'm saying? Since we were children, trying to get somewhere.
For sure. So I want to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of your game and the improvements that you made, particularly this last season, because I've got a column that's going to be coming out the same day that this is out. So if you're one of the people that just listens to the podcast, just watches YouTube, go to knowsthingsnba.com, read my scouting report on Arthur Kaluma and why I think he's one of the better value propositions in this draft and one of the more underrated guys out there. Is something that I always look for, particularly in players that are entering the draft as upperclassmen, is I want to see guys that kept improving. Because there are guys that come in, they perform well as freshmen, and then like they're just kind of the same guy 4 years later. And it's like, well, if I'm an NBA team and I'm drafting somebody, I want somebody who kept getting better. I think you quietly were one of the most improved players in college basketball this year. But I also think that you've improved every year. So I want to start off talking about your shooting. You shot a higher percentage from three every single year of your career. You shot a higher percentage from the free throw line every single year of your career. And now you're entering the NBA. I mean, after your freshman year, like you were kind of a non-shooter at that point in time, statistically. now you're a guy where when I compare your stats to long-term NBA players, guys who stuck at the forward position, you grade out above average on three-point percentage. Your volume is right where it should be. You're an above-average free throw shooter compared to most forwards. How did you get your shot where it is, and what was that process like for you? Was it something intentional, or was it just, I'm working on everything, so it developed?
No, I mean, the shot is something definitely that was intentional after my freshman year. When the way I ended up my freshman year against Kansas, when I hit like 5 threes, I was like, man, this really feels good. Like, I should do this more often, you know? My shot is something that I've always felt like I've had. Now, it gets streaky at times. So really just focusing on my form and the feel of the ball when it comes off my hands has been something that's really helped me, like, understand. I'm like, okay, it's a certain feeling. Like, I know when the ball is going to go hit back rim, go in, it's going to hit front rim, or if it's going to be cast, like, no rim at all. And so understanding that feel is just so much simpler and easier to shoot the ball now.
Were there any mechanical tweaks that you made, or was it more of like a rep it out situation for you? Because like for some guys, it's like, I didn't change anything. I just kept getting up shots. Other guys say, hey, I changed this or that. What was it? What was it that worked for you?
Planting my feet firmly, like really into the ground when I'm about to shoot, instead of just feeling like I'm floating. Having that strong base in my shot helped me tremendously.
It's interesting that you mentioned that too, because something that stuck out on tape was you hit more shots off movement this year. Like there were plays where you would set a screen and then like you would backpedal into it from three, or you'd run into it in transition, and there was like no hesitation. It was like, I've got my base under me and I'm going into the shot. Was movement shooting something that you put a focus on in particular? Because that was something that started to pop up more often.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, throughout the course of the game, you're not going to get a lot of standstill threes. And I feel like the more confidence you get when you rep out those movement shots in your workouts, the game just starts to become easier. Like when I have a certain stride, and I'm in transition, I like, yo, if I catch the ball in this area, I'm 6'7". The person on me is most likely, I'm not going to be able to see them on my jumper because I elevate. So when I get in that certain stride, I get my feet under me. I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. I know it by the time my hand touches the ball, like, yo, this is catch.
Yeah, because I love the elevation on your shot. Yeah, and something else I thought was interesting was with that elevation, with your wingspan, you've got a over 7 foot wingspan. You've got a high release point. Like, you shot a really good percentage on guarded threes this year, which I think is important because the NBA, like, most guys don't get easy shots, so the ability to hit threes with guys coming at you, it matters. Did you at what point in your college career did you feel like you noticed defense is starting to pay more respect to you? Because most of your threes this year were guarded. Like, was that a this year thing where it's like, oh, this guy makes them? Or was it last year? Like, when did you start to get that respect from defenses?
I think that started my Kansas State year.
Okay.
Jerome, Coach Tang, I really started, like, my shot was really going in, and one of my favorite moves in the game is the pump fake. So once teams started respecting that, the pump fake became just 10 times more easier. But, like, the development of my shot my junior year really helped.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about that pump fake as well as your driving, which I think is the best part of your game, right after the break. Stick with us. So the best element of your offensive game, in my opinion, is your ability to get to the basket and finish. You're a high-level finisher. You're a guy who gets to the rim a lot, and you're a guy who's able to get to the rim a lot kind of your own accord, of your own work. It's not like, oh, well, I was rolling to the basket and my guard hit me. Like, you're able to really put the ball on the deck and create some stuff. A big part of that is your pump fake. You've got one of the best pump fakes in the game. You're always getting guys off of your feet. How did the pump fake come to be?
Man, it's just always been that. Like, I don't know. It's been my favorite move ever since I was a kid. Like, I catch the ball, just head fake, pump fake, and then there was a point where my release was so slow that, yo, when I'm bringing the ball up slowly, like, you never know if I'm really just going to raise up or if I'm going to really just hit the pump. So just, I don't know. It's just something that's always been a part of my game. I love the pump fake. Me and my bro have been working on jab series like ever since I was like 10 years old.
Yeah, so let's talk about that because like that's the other thing too is like even on plays where even if a guy's being like lazy and just like not closing out that hard, or if they decide to close out short or something like that, like you still get to the rim a lot of different ways. Like, can you just talk about the different ways you get to the rim and sort of like based on who you see in front of you, how you sort of approach getting to the basket?
Definitely. I mean, it depends on the matchup for the time. Like if I have a 5-man on me, I'll really, sometimes it becomes just a race to the rim, because if I can get to the rim a little quicker, I have the length to extend and finish over you. Mm-hmm. But if I have a smaller defender on me, I'm going to attack hard. And then if they cut me off, I'm going to immediately just get into a back down and flip my hips and just find different ways to like read defenses, read feet, see how they're guarding me, see how they're closing out, and see what they're going to go for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like you've got a really rare blend of just like power and skill off the dribble. Where like not a lot of guys have your strength, but also your dribble moves. You mentioned your brother earlier. You mentioned you having, you know, more height than him earlier. Was that something that helped you in terms of putting together your dribble game, is having a brother who was like ostensibly a guard?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be the one who was, you know, dribbling the ball, though. I wanted to play a point guard. Like, every big man in elementary school at one point wanted to be a point guard. They wanted to experience that. So just having that ability to, you know, dribble the ball, he was telling me, yo, the league is going to change at some point. Like, there's going to be a lot of hybrids. You know, you got to be able to do everything. So you got to work on your handles. And from that point on, man, I just stuck with it.
Mm-hmm. The other element of your game where you really evolved this year was your playmaking and cutting down on your turnovers. You had the lowest turnover rate of your career this year. You had a positive assist turnover ratio this year. Was that a matter of the game slowing down? Was it something schematic at Texas? Was it coaching? Was it development? Like, what led to you really just being a more poised and calculated Arthur Kalum this season?
I say that comes with maturity. I wasn't trying to make the home run play every single time. You know, sometimes you get caught up into that. But just making the right winning basketball play is going to look so much better than the flashy play that has a chance to do it or a chance not to. So just focusing on the simple plays.
Yeah. I think that works. And I think at the NBA level, too, that's what guys want out of young players so often is like, let's just keep it moving. Let's do the simple thing. Let's keep it under control. Defensively, also really great year for you. Highest steal rate, highest block rate of your career. I thought you in particular got a lot better as playing as the low man defensively and getting in position to help around the basket. What sort of led to those improvements as an off-ball defender? Because I think the on-ball stuff, people can kind of just like look at you and be like, oh, this guy's going to be a good on-ball defender. But off-ball, it seemed like you were just really on top of it this year. What sort of led to those changes in your game?
Honestly, just watching a lot of film, seeing what other teams like to get to, knowing being in the right position on the court will save you so much time. Mm-hmm. So just finding like my positioning on the court to where I could impact both my man and recover to him, and I'm putting pressure on the other man to see what I do. So just being in the right position and of course timing.
Mm-hmm. So one stat that I came across on this article, you talked about being a versatile player earlier. You're 6'7", 7 foot, half inch wingspan, 220-pound frame. That is like big wing stopper size, but you guarded a lot of different types of players throughout the year. Like you mentioned, got mismatched, you know, against bigs, against guards or whatever. You guarded 25 isolations this year. Players in those sessions, first off, they had 6 turnovers in those 25 isolations. On plays where they shot, they were 4 for 16 against you this year on isolation. So you were locking dudes down. What, I mean, obviously like you've got good physical and athletic tools, but why do you think you've had so much success defending the ball at the point of attack?
I mean, of course, like 7'1" wingspan, I'm long and I'm strong. Mm-hmm. But the main thing that really is like, it's just you got to want it. And you, of course, you also got to be able to like watch film, see players' tendencies and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, it's me versus you. And if you think you could take me one on one, like I'm gonna look at it as some form of disrespect, like, because I feel like, yo, like this is not the matchup you want. Like, I'm not the one you pick on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just trying to get that point across is the main thing.
For sure, yeah. No, I think it worked. guys did it less throughout the year. So, so now you're in this position. The season's over. You're doing the pre-draft process. You were at Combine Week in Chicago. You had your pro day, everything like that. As you were getting prepared to take the step, going from the college level to the professional level, what have been the things you've been most focused on developing in your game?
Definitely just improving, you know, like how I'm reading the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, the NBA game is so much different than the college game in terms of spacing. So making the right reads, and you're going to have a little more time to make the reads, depending on whether how much like space you have on the court and when the help side decides to come. There's that shooting, and man, I'm just trying to get my conditioning right. I feel like my entry point to the league isn't going to be so much as scoring. I mean, I have spot ups opportunities, of course, but it's really just going to be on that defensive end. I want to be able to get through screens. I want to be able to guard the other team's best player, first or second option, and make the game difficult for them. And that's my calling card, and I'm willing to do all that.
Absolutely. I think it's a good one for you. And I think it's something that when you look at rookies who've had sort of an immediate impact and got on the floor right away in recent years, a lot of them have been the dudes that are ready to come in and guard. Like you look at Chimani Kamara, who is, you know, drafted, you know, mid to late second round, but just immediately found himself on the court because, hey, this is a guy who's got the body, got the athleticism, and he's willing to do the dirty work. Are there any players that you sort of like model your game after that you see yourself like, hey, when I get to the league, like this is kind of a guy that I think I might play like?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Jimmy Butler, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jimmy Butler's approach to the game and the mentality that he has on both ends of the court.
Yeah,
that's something unteachable. And I mean, his attention to detail, like the way he studies film, like that's just something that I want to strive towards. You know?
Yeah.
Nas Reed and man, Aaron Nesmith, yo, he went crazy last night.
Yeah. 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 So we were recording this on Thursday, and this is we are in the wake of an unbelievable Aaron Nesmith performance. And that's another dude who just like came in, had the strength, had the length, and used it, has that shot, and has really carved out a great career for himself.
Man, nice.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time. If people want to follow along with your journey and follow you on social media, where can they find you?
Now, Arthur Kaluma is my Instagram handle. On Twitter, it's __KingArt.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, Arthur. I like I said, I think you're one of the more underrated guys in this class. I'm super appreciative of you taking the time, and we appreciate everybody tuning in to listen. Make sure you're following Arthur on all his social media platforms. Make sure you're following us at No Ceilings NBA as we get closer and closer to the 2025 NBA draft. Thank you all for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.